Hey gang, welcome back to We Watch Stuff 90. This is Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end, like always. Happy belated birthday. And there we go. Well, yeah.
So welcome to the show. Folks. Hello guys, in case people didn't realize, we both have the same birthday.
Yep.
Imagine that, in addition to like a couple other mutual friends.
Yeah, which is kind of, and a Shogun. That's that picture I put on my Facebook page. I was pretty jacked to find out I shared a birthday with an actual real-life Shogun. How they knew that, I don't know, but, you know, is what it is.
Hey, makes you feel special.
Yeah, it's a Tokugawa Tsunoshi. I'll go with that.
Okay. So one of the, so,
Tsuniyoshi.
Yeah. Big,
yeah, that'd be it.
Okay, so probably like the great-great-grandson of the main... Like the original Shogun.
Yeah.
So, because that family was kind of like the first one to like solidify everything and take over.
Well, works for me.
Don't ask me how I know that. I just know it. So.
Well, yeah. I looked up celebrity birthdays and we're pretty dry. I think Dakota Fanning.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I liked her in Man on Fire.
Does she even act anymore?
Yeah, she just hasn't acted in a while. Like, she's busy growing up.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, because I know she went to high school, because there was a big fuss made, because she was in a public high school, and she was part of the cheerleading team. I was like, yeah, because that's what a 15, 14, 16-year-old girl does. I don't know. I found it strange, but I guess she quit Hollywood to go to school. It's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
but,
like, it's just imagine Macaulay Culkin, like, being on the high school basketball team. Like, how weird would that be?
It'd be a pretty lousy basketball team, probably. Well, anyways, yes, so we share a birthday with Dakota Fanning and a Shogun, so it's kind of a drop-off. Although I did see that there were a lot of generals and military guys on February 23rd. So, I don't know what that means, but there you go. So, we plan on talking about the Great Wall. Part of the problem, along with most of America, is neither of us decided to go see it. I was all for it, and then I don't know what switched, but I just went, eh. I think it being 80 degrees in February... and bright and sunny out probably didn't help my movie-going experience this weekend, or last weekend. So
yeah, I'm kind of same boat. Like, it's beautiful out here. Like, it's amazing. It's February, and I could wear shorts.
Yeah.
And be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of like on the... I think you were more excited to see the movie than I was. Like, we kind of talked about the reasons why. It's just... Mm-hmm. I was like... Okay, for anybody remember, my whole thing was the thing. It wasn't that the fact that Matt Damon was in it so much as like it. Matt Damon being in it changes the whole outlook of the movie. It's like either you make it a Chinese movie or you make an American movie. It's like you have it, you know, like a Chinese movie, but everyone's trying to speak and act in English.
Yeah.
When English isn't their first language, that seems like wasted. And then... I know a lot of reviews were saying, like, it's not so much a, like, white savior thing. It's like, you know, it's Chinese propaganda. Like, Matt Damon shows up and to see how being an individual doesn't work. Like, you got to be a team. It's almost like it's like a... Like,
really?
Yeah, it's kind of like, see how good, like, Chinese teamwork works. Not that American individual, like, not even American. Like, see how that individual nonsense... That Maverick crap doesn't work. We work best as a team. And a lot of people say, like, you can take Matt Damon out the movie and the movie's not affected that much. So it's like, and that's, it's like, yeah. So you're trying to serve multiple masters, is what it sounded like. Like, you want to have your cake and eat it too, and instead you got a messed up cake.
Yeah, and from the box office here, nobody seemed interested. Only as of the 22nd, it only made $24 million here, so on a $150 million budget. So it sounds like a bust, right? Then you get into that whole global or foreign market, and it's already made $245 million.
Yeah, because it's been released for a while.
Yeah, well, of that, who do you think spent the most money to go see it?
I'm guessing China.
$170 million.
I mean, the Chinese actors in the movie are like Chinese movie stars, so they did that for a reason, but it's kind of like it wasn't done organically. Yeah. And it's kind of that whole thing, it's like the Chinese have a thing like they call like the flower pot phenomenon, where, you know, they say they're getting sick of it, where you have a mainstream Hollywood movie and they just throw a Chinese actor, actress in. They like, if you replace the character with a flower pot, would the movie change? And they say most of the time it doesn't. It's like, if that's the case, then what's the damn point?
That's, you know, I know I understand the concept, but that sounds like, I don't know, I guess you could use other inanimate objects, but I don't know, flower pot just sounds harsh for some reason, even though it's like just a plant. But damn,
that's kind of point. Like, damn. You play such and such and just put a damn flower pot there in every scene, would the movie change that much? That's the fact that, one, that's the thing, and then two, a lot of times the answer is no, says a lot about this idea, like, we need Chinese money, so we're just gonna do anything to get it. Not a smart way, just a craven way. And it's like, it's a biting ass, because it's like they got their own movies. Like, they got a movie industry. It's not like as big as India, but it's bigger than most. And it's like, they don't really, like, a lot of times, and we talked about before, where what happened to like the Chow Yun Fats and the Jackie Chans and all that, like, they making millions of dollars in China. Like, I'm glad Donnie Yen is making American movies now, but he wasn't necessarily broke. He was making he was making more money than a lot of Hollywood people never working here. So it's like, they don't necessarily need it, and it's not this big thing like it used to be, where I need to make it to make it in America to make it. It's like, I get there when I get there, and if I don't, so what?
Isn't it, if you come over to if you become a star in America, you truly made it, you know, that kind of like arrogant sort of thing, which I guess is kind of true as well. I don't know.
I mean, it used to be more true back, because you look at like movies, I don't think global, like, people really paid attention, like, global box office to maybe the 2000s. Like, people saw movies everywhere, but nobody really paid attention like that, you know, gross and stuff like that. It wasn't really until probably early mid-2000s, where the whole thing is like, okay, everyone's seeing movies. So before, it's like, you know, Batman making such amount of, like, it made a lot of money, but they focus on like what it make United States and Canada. Now you got something like where Transformers might make $170 million domestic. People wonder why they make the movies. It's like, well, it made $1 billion overall. Like, yeah, the world's a big place, and everybody's seeing movies now. And you have like these Indian actors, these Chinese actors making $30 and $40 million a year, and you never heard of them. It's like, America, it's almost like soccer, where we don't care, but everyone else does. And now it's kind of like, you don't necessarily have to care for them to be a big deal, just because we never heard of them. It's like, if some Indian actor is making $42 million, he making $42 million. Like, we don't need to know who he is. Like, somebody knows who he is, and his banker and his accountants know who he is to be making that much. That's the world we live in right now.
Yeah, I was pulling up, because I heard a lot of criticism is that people only want to see Matt Damon if he's Jason Bourne. And looking at his last few, well, he was in Interstellar, but no one knew he was in Interstellar until it happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Bourne was his last movie, $162 million. It made Lifetime. I'm guessing this is domestic only. The Martian made $228. Monuments Man, that was an ensemble. Can you really put that on him? Elysium, $93 million. He hasn't made a whole lot of movies in the last 4 years. Now that I'm looking at this, because I skipped over Zero Theorem, I don't even know what that is.
Like, Matt Damon is a picky thing, where he does a lot of good movies, but they don't necessarily make a whole lot of money. Beside, like, really the Jason Bourne movies, it's almost like, when you look at it, when you like look at like actors, like, it's a lot of them where it's kind of like they're in a lot of stuff that we like and watch, and then you realize they didn't make that much money. It's like George Clooney's in that boat. Mm-hmm. Damon's in that boat. Like, really, it's a, like, you notice where, that's why I make people like Leonardo DiCaprio and Denzel so special. It's like, they make movies where people like them and they make money. And it's not like a comic thing or based off a story. It's like, it's a reason why they say Hollywood stars are dying, because, yeah, you don't, it's not that many actors where say, we go see their movies, we like the movies, and the movies actually make money. Like, people love George Clooney, but Kevin Hart and Tyler Perry probably outgross him. And you wouldn't even think about that till you looked at it. It's like, if you're looking at like real like movie stars, Melissa McCarthy is a way bigger movie star, like money wise, than George Clooney ever was.
Yeah.
But you went, but it's kind of like, if you said that, it's like, well, George Clooney's George Clooney. He's won Oscars. He looks like a movie star. I like Ocean's 11 and Out of Sight and stuff. It's like, yeah, but he's made a lot of stuff like Monuments Men and The American and Leatherheads and Solaris. It's like, you make a movie, you big time, your movie makes $15 million. I mean, it is what it is. It's like, yeah, but yeah, people don't think about it that way till we do stuff like that, look back at it. Like, I wouldn't have thought about that with Matt Damon until you brought it up. And then as soon as you brought it up, it's like, yeah, you got a good point.
Yeah, because I'm looking, I mean, I was even looking at his, like, I'm on Box Office Mojo, so maybe I need to be on something else, but I'm looking at, as a producer, he doesn't, maybe I need to go to IMDb, but he was a producer on Jason Bourne. The closest producer credit before that was Feast, I guess, off of that Project Green Room or whatever that was called. No, mm-hmm. Yeah, is that what it was called?
Project Green Light.
So I was going to say, well, maybe he spends a lot of his time producing stuff, but let me see. I went to IMDb. Maybe I'm just missing something. Okay, yeah. They got a little bit better list here. Okay. So Box Office Mojo, for everyone, do not look there for producer credits. Yeah, there is a ton of stuff on here. Jason Bourne, Manchester by the Sea, The Leisure Class, it's a TV movie. More Time with Family, Promised Land, People Speak. Okay. I think it's... Is this writing? Yeah, his last... Oh, he wrote the Promised Land screenplay. So, yeah, I don't know what Matt Damon does with all his time, but... I'm just going to say, though, it's not... People are interested in him, just not the Jason Bourne movies, though.
But, yeah. He's enjoying being Matt Damon and being happy he doesn't have Ben Affleck stress. That's what he's doing.
Kidding. Well, yeah, that's one thing we haven't touched on at all. So this isn't exactly new news, but Affleck is no longer directing or writing the Batman movie. And now there's rumors that he just wants out totally.
Yeah, it's funny about the first part is definitely true. The second part is kind of like, that sounds sketchy as hell, because it's kind of like, take this story with a grain of salt. I don't have any proof, but I heard from somebody that this is what I heard, and then got mad. It's like, I shouldn't have put it out there. Well, don't put it out there. It's kind of like, I'm 10% sure this might be a thing, but my cousin's friend's janitor heard from such and such that Ben Affleck might feel this way, but I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to start stuff. Yeah. But I'm going to say it anyway so I can start stuff. It's like, either you stand by it or you don't stand by it. And everybody's kind of said, like, nah. Like, the directing thing is kind of like, I don't blame Ben Affleck. He probably like, enough is enough. Like, it's too much stress, too much meddling. Warner Brothers probably, you know, got scared off because Live by Night bombed. And it's kind of like, you know, we can have him do he was fine doing Batman, but he doesn't need to necessarily do everything. And the fact that Matt Reeves is doing it now, like, good, because it's kind of like, you know, the last two Planet Eight movies was him. Those movies are like great movies. Like, Cloverfield was him too. So it's kind of like, yeah, he knows his stuff. And it's funny where people who hated Warner Brothers and DC Universe were mad that they got him. Because it's like they wanted it. It's moved to die. It's funny where we've gotten to the point where a certain subset of fans get mad when people make good decisions.
Well, yeah. Especially when it doesn't jive with their decision. That's for sure. Well, yeah, he's had a pretty decent career just looking at now. So yeah, oh yeah, so the new War of the Planet of the Apes coming out, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The name sounded familiar, and then I pulled up a picture of him. I'm like, he looks like every other
director
from Hollywood. So, oh, he was a producer on 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I've recorded for 2 months and have not watched yet. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like directors, unless they're like, they either look old, they kind of either like Steven Spielberg, they look like Matt Reeves, or the case like Michael Bay stands out because nobody looks like Michael Bay. Like, he just looks, he looks like a damn frat boy that with a gym membership. Like, I saw one picture, I gotta send it to you. Like, they have him there, he has on like a fur coat with chains.
Michael Bay?
Yes, Michael Bay. I have no idea what the context is. Like, he's there bare chested with gold chains on and a fur coat, looking in very good shape with the biggest smile on his face. Like, Michael, I'm about to blow something up and get paid for it. So, yeah.
Was that when he was filming? Was it Pain and Gain? I would hope.
I have no clue. I don't ask. It's kind of like,
oh my god.
See it?
What the hell? Oh, it was when the picture, he's got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the background. So it must have been when that remake came out. But
with Calvin Klein's on.
Why would you wear that to a movie premiere?
Because if you Michael Bay, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Damn.
That's the kind of like, just think about it. He's in very good shape for like somebody that doesn't need to be in good shape. It's like, you know what? If you live in that life and you basically get to do whatever, film whatever movies you make, and you get to blow stuff up and you enjoy doing what you're doing, yeah. I probably wear a fur coat with chains too, because it's like, I'm not trying to wear
a blue fur coat, by the way. It's blue. Yeah. Jesus.
Now you know why I like Michael Bay so much. It's kind of like, he's that big kid that made it.
Well, it's funny. The reason I said, oh God, or whatever earlier was this. The article is called "The World According to Michael Bay, the Donald Trump of Cinema." I'm like, I think you're stretching, but at the same time, damn. Because this is an old article, if they're talking about from way back then. But yeah, that,
like, I see
know.
A picture of Michael Bay, I don't know if this girl's a porn star or whatever, and Mike Tyson. and it's like, you know what? There's no context where that makes sense, except for Hollywood. I'm just gonna say that's why they call it Hollyweird.
Oh my god. who is that in the middle?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who that is too. Like, it's funny. It's kind of like, is she, what talent industry is she in? And it's kind of like, yeah. But no, back to the Matt Reeves Batman thing. It's like, I'm glad they have somebody. And one thing I'll say about DC is that it's weird where they give the directors a lot of leeway, but then at the same time, they get skittish. It's like, you can tell, like, Suicide Squad looked the way it did because people got shook off of Batman versus Superman. And it's like, it's like two different movies. And you can tell it's two different movies, like, the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, like, Matt Reeves, the whole thing with his contract, because it was like, first he was going to do it, then it fell through, then he was going to do it again. Might have been either, I don't want to be here for an extended period of time, or let me do it the way I want to do it, or kick rocks. And it's like, how hard is it to make a Batman movie? It's Batman. Like, people are going to wait. They're going to go see it. And it's like, you can say whatever you want about Ben Affleck. He was one of the best parts of that Batman. Like, him being Batman works. So it's kind of like, let them do what they need to do to make the movie. It's like, DC needs to get out their own way and stop shooting themselves in the foot and just let. It's funny where Zack Snyder gets to do whatever he wants, but you want to tell people that really know stuff, like, nah, I'm not sure. Like, that seems ass backwards.
But I wonder if also they allowed Zack Snyder to do whatever he wants. And they, you know, Man of Steel was a success. But, you know, the way we talked about it before, the way that it is, you've got to have it be a mega success now. You know, $1 billion almost seemingly seems like the objective with these things now. And if you fall short of that,
and you know what?
God damn.
I've talked to people about that. That's so ass backwards, because they say if it don't make $1 billion, it's a film. I'm like, most movies don't make a billion. Like, yeah. If we, like, you look at the Marvel movies, if Robert Downey Jr. is not in it, none of them make a, like, none of them made a billion. The only movies that did was, like, the ones with Iron Man in it, where both Avengers movies, Iron Man 3, and Civil War. And what do they all have in common? Robert Downey Jr. is in it. None of the other ones hit a billion. I'm like, I mean, Batman hit a billion with The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, but nobody else did. Spider-Man is one of the most popular comics out there. They never hit a billion. And it's funny where people look at it like 700, 800 to fill. Like, X-Men is where they get judged based on. I'm like, X-Men movies were never like big time money thing, because X-Men is like, they're popular, but it's weird. Like, people heard of the X-Men, but it's like, what's the X-Men? You think it's Wolverine, and then it's the dude that shoot lasers. Like, everyone's heard of X-Men, but ask somebody to explain X-Men, and you getting like, it's Wolverine, a bunch of dudes. And it's like, you can't judge that where if it hits a billion, it's a failure. Like, either you got to manage your budget, you got to manage your expectations. Like, make the movie the right way. Make something that's entertaining, and you'll make money. Like, that's why John Wick 2 is a thing. That's why Fast and Furious makes a billion now. Like, and even then, it took 7 movies, and it started where it was like this small ass franchise. Like, everything is not Jurassic Park or Pirates of the Caribbean. Don't treat it that way. You treat it that way, and it's like the cart's leading the horse.
Yeah,
and that's where you had the problems you have.
Well, especially with the case of Disney, they're the ones that owned, or I'm sorry, that they now own Star Wars. They now own Marvel, and they paid a, you know, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but they paid a pretty good penny for Lucasfilm and the Star Wars rights and all that. But I would imagine they've made their money back already. So this should employ you some sort of creative freedom to, unless they're banking on these movies to basically fund whatever other projects they want to do.
They're trying to build a spaceship? You know,
I don't, well, it's Disney. It is Disney. So,
you know, the funny thing is, they probably get more money from toys. Like,
no, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's the thing to get me is like, you never hear this problem with Disney because they make their movies make money. It's like between the animated stuff, Star Wars, and Marvel, they can have flops. It's like, okay, we'll be all right. We'll just throw an Iron Man movie or a Spider-Man movie out or throw some cartoon movie out and hit a 900 million. Like, you look at most of the big box office like of 2016, if you look at like probably the top 15, I bet you half is Disney some way or the other.
Oh, yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
like,
sure. They've gotta be.
Yeah, like, right. Between Finding Dory, Zootopia, Jungle Book, Civil War, Rogue One, like, yeah, they're straight, and they can afford to do, like, they have a plan where people, it's funny, we've talked about this, people get on them saying like they're too safe and they don't make it, they don't take any chances and everything. And I'm like, yeah, and that's why we are where we are. And everybody else is trying to get where we are because like we know what we're doing. And it's almost, I don't want to say it's like McDonald's. Like, it's McDonald's where you have a formula, it works. You don't, I mean, you might add a little stuff here and there, but you don't deviate it from too much because it's like, if it ain't broke, don't break it. And you would love to have them, like, you know, look outside the box and stuff, but they're going to do that with small stuff. You don't do that with big stuff. You do that with small things.
Yeah.
Like, looking outside.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm saying, like, looking outside the box and being drastic with big things end up being disastrous if you do it the wrong way. And yeah. they have no reason to take those type of chances.
They don't have to take the chances, but I think it's pretty nice to have that parachute or giant inflatable padding underneath you in case. Like you said, just throw out another one. Because, I was looking it up, 2016 top box office for this country, with the United States of America, for those who may listen somewhere else, Rogue One, which kind of surprised me. That was the top box office for 2016 for how late it came out in the year. It made that much money. Yeah, but still, yeah. It made that much money that fast. Damn. Finding Dory was next. Captain America Civil War. All three Disney movies. Secret Life of Pets was number four. That's kind of a surprise to me. I don't have small kids, so I guess that's why. Jungle Book, another Disney movie. Deadpool from Fox. Zootopia, Disney. Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, and then Sing. So either superheroes or animation.
Yeah.
Followed by a close Moana at number 11. And yeah, Doctor Strange at number 13.
So when people ask, how come we see, like, because they make money. Like, people like, what's this whole thing? Like, people like money. And you look at that list, it's comic books and cartoons, because they hit people, they hit the most amount of people, where those cartoon movies, everyone see, like, little kids want to see it. The parents taking them, they want to see it. And then teenagers really want to see it, but they want to fake it. Like, you go to see, because it's funny, I've seen Zootopia, like, I've seen those movies in a movie theater or on Blu-ray. Like, everyone except for Sing. I didn't see Finding Dory, but I saw Secret Life of Pets. I saw Jungle Book. I saw Zootopia. Like, yeah, those are, and I saw Moana. Like, those are entertaining movies. Like, people like that. And it was something I saw where, oh, I'm going to make a guess. Which movie you think made more domestic? And you're going to know because I'm going to ask you the question. X-Men Apocalypse or Hidden Figures?
It's got to be Hidden Figures.
Just think about that for, like, yes.
Well, no,
like,
no, actually, like, X-Men Apocalypse, what?
Well, eventually.
155 to 146, yeah.
Yeah, but Hidden Figures is still in the movies. The fact that, Hidden Figures is done, it's going to pass. And it's funny looking at both of those, like, one, X-Men Apocalypse is going to do far better international because it's international. But the fact where you hear the argument saying, well, you can't make those type of movies because people don't see those movies. And it's like, yeah, people will see a good movie, and it's not just black people. Like, if you make a good movie, everyone will go see it.
Well, that's been our argument on this for a while, though. I mean, I jokingly said on the last Dunker Any Audio about how Did This Get Made ripped us off using a lot of the ideas we had for XXX. So if anyone's listening, go ahead and listen to our XXX show, and then go ahead and listen to How Did This Get Made talking about it, where we came up with the exact same thing the day after, less than 24 hours after seeing the thing. Anyways, but that's the whole crux of what we talk about a lot on here, and then it usually devolves into just complaining about people, which, you know, we originally stated we didn't want to do, but somehow, you know, it happens. But
it's hard to talk about the stuff we talk about and not it get to that point, because unfortunately we watch things where fans of those things, and not all of them, and I don't think it's even most of them, but the ones you tend to read and hear about tend to come off as ingrates. So it's, I mean, like, we like wrestling, we like comics, we like sci-fi. Those fans tend to be very passionate about those type of things, and they will let you know. It's almost like that whole I liked it before was cool thing. And I don't know what's worse, the fact that it's almost where it's a lot of people say that's kind of like they won and they still don't care. I think that's the worst thing that happens. Like, you won the war. Like, society, like, entertainment basically caters to you. And instead of being happy and appreciative, it's like, no. Like, how dare you give me what I want, because it's not what I really want. It's not the way I would do it. And how dare that person that wasn't there from day one, now they want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I still get a kick. And I admittedly will get this way every once in a while, though. When something changes and I'm like, why is it like that? Like, why did they change that? Or, you know, it doesn't jive exactly with what I saw. And then I realized, well, and this thought process did take a while. This wasn't something to where I was like, oh, well, yeah. You have to make comic books are goofy as hell anyways. And, you know, they always say, well, they won't translate that well to the screen, like the costumes and that. Well, yeah, I mean, looking at some of the, especially DC villains, they don't translate well to the bright colors, whatever, the goofy names and that. So I get you have to make changes, and if it's not exactly the way people want it, I don't know, man. I get not the pain. I don't know what word I'm looking for. I get the it's almost like people would feel slighted. Like we supported, like it, almost like an, it's almost like punk rock. We supported these guys for this long, and now they signed to a label, and they're getting paid for the they're getting paid to do their music now. Well, screw them. It's like, well, no, I wait. What? We're working. Well, you changed what you did. It's like, well, because we can afford to change it now. This is stuff we would have loved to be able to do, but we didn't have the money to do it. And now you see with, you know, the comics fans, like with everybody, it there does seem to be that permeated attitude now of people want to see DC fail. Anytime you see something pop up, a rumor, like there were early releases, there were early reviews for Wonder Woman, and people were coming out saying this is the best DC movie. And we're like, well, that's not hard to do. It's like, oh, Jesus. Just be happy people are enjoying it.
Yeah,
and
like,
instead it's just, no, we don't want this Wonder Woman to work because then we're not going to get these movies anymore, so we can go back to fantasy booking my Wonder Woman movie with a 1960s or 70s yeah. Linda Carter. It's like,
you know what's
Jesus.
Funny about that? People, like, it's kind of like the longer time goes by, people change, because this whole thing is kind of like, I've heard people now saying, like with Batman, Christopher Nolan movies, they weren't really that good, and Tim Burton suck. Why can't we get it like, you know, like the hidden gems, like the Joel Schumacher movies? And I'm like, it's a reason it took so long between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins. Like, it's a gap. What was it, 8 years? Something like that between the two? From when Batman and Robin, like, think about that. It's fucking Batman, and it took almost a decade for a new Batman movie. Like, you really want to wait? Like, people say, oh, why can't they just start from scratch and blow it all? Like, I've heard that with both the X-Men movies and DC Universe. I'm like, okay, say that and say, you know what, we're gonna start over and we're gonna recoup and regroup, and it's, but you just gotta wait 6 years. You think people really want to wait six years, those people that's complaining about stuff now? Like, no. Because then they just go back to complain about how Marvel is doing the same old thing over and over again. And it's like, people don't – maybe it's because we're old enough and we have perspective, and I don't want to be like that back in my day stuff, but we've talked about how the comic movies used to be. Like, I tried watching that Captain America movie. I could not get past, like, 15 minutes. Like,
oh, you missed the end then. That's the unfortunate – that's
– yeah, like, I've seen – I've seen the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, and I've seen David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. Like, I've seen all this. It's kind of like, even, I mean, you had Batman that was good, you had Superman that started good and then devolved into whatever, and you had a bunch of trash. Like,
yeah.
trash, where kind of like, Darkman was probably one of your best comic movies, and that wasn't based off a comic. Like, it was just garbage. And now it's the fact where you had a Doctor Strange movie was one of the best movies Marvel, like Ant-Man and stuff like that. Suicide Squad was a movie. Nobody would have thought back in the damn 80s and 90s, like Will Smith would have been in a Suicide Squad movie. Like, that was going to be a thing. And now it's like, I can't wait till DC fails. And then what? What do you think is going to happen? Like, they're not going to sell it to Disney. Like, they're just going to try to, they're going to start over. Like, you want them, Marvel having money issues is the reason why you have Fox doing X-Men and like X-Men and Fantastic Four movies. Like, yeah, when people fail, that has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say one more thing, and I was thinking about that with the whole X, like Fox and Marvel thing. People get on Fox all the time, and a lot of it was with good reason, but Marvel would never do what Fox does with its movies, where they have edges. Like, Fox has had an R-rated Deadpool movie. They're about to have an R-rated Wolverine movie. DC's not doing that. Like, they not crossing that thing. And to be perfectly honest, for all the people saying they wish Marvel, like DC, Disney, Marvel had the X-Men, the X-Men, if we're going to be real, real, never fit with anybody else. Like, they've always done their own thing. They've always been separate from their own thing. And that's been a part of, like, their existence. Just think about all the conflicts in Marvel movies. You really think it's going to be a big deal that X-Men show up? Like, okay, Captain America can run fast and lift stuff. Storm controls the damn weather. Like, just think about that. Like, Professor X can put everybody to sleep if he really wants to. Magneto controls metal. Like, Hawkeye's chump change compared to, like, we're not even talking about, like, Jean Grey, something like that. Like, if we being, like, somebody like Gambit would be, like, the fourth most powerful Avenger. And that's damn Gambit. Like, it's the same complaint saying, even with the Avengers, they're dealing, like, world stuff, like, the world may collapse. That's chump change when you compare it, like, what X-Men people do. So it's like, what type of story are you going to tell if you have them in the same universe? Because then your whole question is, why can't the X-Men handle it?
Or why aren't they all just teaming up?
Yeah.
That's what it used to be special in the comics. And because remember, I remember when I was a teenager, they had X-Men versus Avengers. It was like a four-issue series because the Avengers captured Magneto, and the X-Men were busting him out, and that's what they were fighting over. So I think that's what it was. And that was so special back then. Now, and I admittedly do not read Marvel Comics, but I read the solicitations, I read, like, what's going on, because I want to keep up with what's going on with it. And I had the question, and no one seemed to answer, who are the bad guys in the Marvel Universe now for comics?
Each other.
And that's what confuses the hell out of me. Like, wait, what?
Like, basically, like, if you read the comics now, or depending on when you read, it could be a month where you read the comics where Captain Marvel is the bad guy, Magneto's the voice of reason, and then you wait 2 months later, and it might be completely like, I jumped back in the comics and read the current stuff, and I'm like, this is a reason I stopped reading. Like, this is just a damn mess where you got the teenage version of the X-Men running around trying to, you know, educate the current version. You got fake Cyclops that was dead but wasn't really dead but was like a mental projection of the White Queen. You got the alternate old man version of Wolverine running around, but he ain't the real, like, what's
what?
Yeah, yeah, like, I, yeah, it's kind of like the, and then
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, then you got them. They fight. All of a sudden, the humans are a big thing, and they're fighting. And then they're dealing with that, with the Avengers and this whole Civil War stuff again. And now Iron Man's dead, and you got a woman Iron Man, and Dr. Doom is the other Iron Man. And it's just sometimes this person's a hero. It's like almost where the villains have gotten so old, or they don't know how to do the villains. It's like they turn the villains into heroes, and they have the heroes fighting each other.
And that's what's confusing to me. Like, DC, you know, you got, it's, they're still doing the typical, not typical, excuse me, the traditional, you know, hero bad guy thing, which I think plays out because who really wants to see their favorites fighting each other? I don't know. Like, if, because that was the old trope in the comics was, you know, Captain America is being possessed by somebody or something, all right? And then they snap him out of it at the end. But I think going back to Civil War, what was that, 10 years ago now? That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's where it kind of started. And Marvel's been doing it seemingly ever since. And, like, I don't get it. Like, what changed? And it's hurting their sales. Which is even weirder.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's that whole thing, like, be careful what you wish for, because people always wonder, I wonder who would win in a fight if such and such fought such and such. That's stuff you talk about. You don't necessarily want to see it, and then it's kind of like, well, maybe we did that, be cool. Like, it's a way to tell the story of conflict, but you don't do it in a fact where it just changes the fundamental aspects of the character, and then you go back and act like it didn't happen. That's where the problem comes in. It's like, you just changing, like, you have to tell your story in a way that, like, Civil War II, the way they told the story, it makes Captain Marvel look like an asshole. She's never been that way. She's being changed that way to fit the story instead of the story fitting her. And then it's like, oh, I guess we got to read. But, like, imagine if it was DC and you had, like, Nightwing, Robin, and the Joker working together. Like, yeah. Oh, he's you know, the Joker, he's going to be the new Batman, because he's like, there's no way you can tell that story that makes sense. Like, Dr. Doom's not necessarily evil, but it's weird seeing him be Iron Man, because it's kind of like, the only way, it's like, it's precedence, because the same way, like, when Dr. Octopus was being Spider-Man, the whole thing is, I'm gonna be a better Spider-Man than Spider-Man, but it was more like, I took over, I'm a young Peter Parker with that mindset, so it's a twist on the story, and if it's his mindset, like, part of it's just weird, like, you know, with, why would you want to see Thanos as an Avenger or something like that? That hasn't happened yet, but it's like some bad guys are bad guys for a reason. Like, what are you doing? Like, okay, now you're going to turn the good guys bad and you're going to have the bad guys good. And I don't know. It's like you can do whatever you want with a story, but if it doesn't make sense, it's like, what am I doing? That's why I never really pay attention to the whole canon and what story, like what counts. Because it's like you keep moving the goalposts. And I always make the joke, like, you know, it'd be great if we did a Fantastic Four movie to start with Reed Richards smacking Sue Storm because she spoke back.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, because, like, imagine that. We're going to have, like, a Breaking Bad version of the Fantastic Four, and that's from the comic books. Like, yeah, some
Dude,
stuff.
Could you imagine how funny that'd be? I mean, obviously not, you know what I mean, but, like, the reaction, like, you're just watching this. They don't screen it for audiences because, you know, that's always a good sign. But the first thing is Sue's like, Reed, and then this hand just flies across the room, smacks her, and goes right back to working. The stunned look, to, just to be in that audience the first time that would happen, and then to go home, or like just pull your phone out immediately, actually. I keep forgetting, we don't need to watch TV anymore. Just to pull out your phone, get on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, to see people's reactions, that's almost worth $100 million. I mean, well, it's Fox, so they don't have the money to throw away like Disney does, so never mind. But,
It's
my God, that'd be
where,
terrific.
Yeah, because it's kind of where one of the, you know, and it leads in kind of like Fox with Logan, one of the things that stand out to it and people making a big deal, like, you know, it's had 67 reviews, and right now, like, it doesn't come out until next week, and right now Rotten Tomatoes is at 96%. Like, that's unprecedented for, like, Fox comic movies. Like, people are raving about this movie, and one of the things they're saying is, like, it's making a big deal about the fact where you can have comic book characters in a movie. It doesn't have to be a comic book movie. Like, you can tell, like, a certain story, just use characters, like, and people forgot about that, because I guess when you get caught up in a big budget, you have to do big budget. And, like, Blade is almost like a horror movie.
Yeah.
It just happened to have comic characters in it. Like, it's a real nor like horror vibe about those movies, and it fits, and it's like you can tell different stories, and like they say, like, Logan's almost like a apocalyptic western, and it just happened to have comic characters in it, and that's the biggest thing. Disney Marvel does that like Netflix and everything. They tend not to do it too much with their big movies because it's like, you're spending this amount of money, you got to kind of tell certain stories. Like, they did a little bit like Ant-Man. It's like the close, and like Guardians of the Galaxy is like the almost the closest where, like, Ant-Man is like almost like a heist movie, and it's kind of like low stakes. And Guardians of the Galaxy is almost like Star Wars, where it's like, you know, you can watch Guardians of the Galaxy, have never seen a Marvel movie, and be fine with that movie, and never see another Marvel movie again. It's like, yeah, now it's kind of like, it's, I think they may start doing that more as because they kind of like laid the groundwork to get to that point where they can do it. But that's what a lot of people are asking for, is like, make a good movie and we'll see it. And that goes with anything. And it's kind of like the biggest issue with comics, like DC and Fox, is like they don't know how to get out their own way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even when they were doing Logan, they was like, we know Deadpool worked, but even when we was doing Logan, like, the producers was like, I won't even lie, I was scared. I was thinking, maybe, is this too much? Will people watch this? Because this seems kind of like, this doesn't seem like a comic movie. It seems like a Western until like a slow burn story. I don't know. The fact that they came out and said that says two things. One, a lot of execs are idiots. Two, he's honest enough to see that. It's like, I didn't even know. And like, even with Deadpool working, people still aren't sure. And that says a lot about people. Like, you almost got to hit them in the head with success for them to actually believe it.
Yeah. But also, I mean, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, it also depends on the character. You know, you can't throw like the Flash into an R-rated movie, you know? Or, I mean, Captain America, I guess you could. It's a soldier. But like, even Iron Man in like an R-rated movie really wouldn't work that well. There's a certain, you gotta keep that certain innocence to it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You talk about that kind of like, Iron Man Innocence, but like you look at Iron Man,
that was a bad example. I know that.
No, but no, it's a perfect example for the story. Like you think about it, like Iron Man now seems like this PG-13 character, and it's kind of like you don't want to do that Iron Man. But then you look at the basis of Iron Man, like he's a war profiteer, womanizer that in the comics had an alcohol problem.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said as soon as I said Iron Man, I was like, God damn it, I did it again.
But that's perfect. Like you could tell a story with that, like. But it's kind of like you could, but Disney's not doing that. It's like you don't want to. Nobody want to see drunk Iron Man figuring out how to work things. It's like they want to see Iron Man crack jokes and blow stuff up. It's like I've always made the argument with Wolverine. People say, "Oh, why are they making Wolverine R-rated?" I'm like, he walks around with blades on his hands. Yeah. Like nothing about Wolverine screams PG-13 at all. Like he's this angry man that's lived his long ass life, been through all these wars. He's a womanizer that's lost a lot of love. He goes around stabbing people and abandoning the team half the time. Like half the time you see him, even in the cartoon, the first episode or the second episode, he's punching Cyclops in the damn stomach because they left Morph. Like you're not used to seeing like conflict between the team on a cartoon. Like he was an asshole then. And the only way they got around it was, well, he's cutting up robots. Like, he'll pull out two of the blades and not stab a human being. But even then, he was like a jerk. Like, if you're going to have an R-rated character, it's definitely going to be Wolverine. Yeah. And I'm glad they finally, like, crossed that bridge.
And isn't that kind of... It almost seems... The X-Men, you know, whatever the allegory is for it... Like Wolverine kind of... almost reflects or represents what a real person would do with those abilities. I mean, he drinks, well, before he became the hero, and, you know, he went to Japan, whatever, but he just kind of got drunk, got in fights, knowing he could just beat everybody up because he's going to heal back real quick, especially when he got the metal in his body. You know, mm-hmm. He can easily take somebody, knowing you're not going to die. Do you understand how fearless people would be if that was the case? Like, the kind of stuff we would go through, and he was always kind of that representation. And that's what was the fun struggle, was him having to become better than what he was.
Yeah, like, so, that's the Wolverine's kind of like, Wolverine, like, you see how people act when they have too much Hennessy, and it's normal people. Like,
are we talking about someone specific, by the way?
No, we are not. Disclaimer, so, but... No, but we are not doing that radio edit. So Wolverine is acting how people, like, if people had Wolverine's powers, 9 out of 10 people would act exactly like Wolverine, or a worse, or more than likely they'd act like Sabretooth acts. Like, the beauty of Wolverine is him overcoming natural tendencies to, like, try to be better when you really have no reason to. Like, he's trying to be better for himself, but it's kind of like, he don't have to, because, like, who's gonna set him straight?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, and I think the part of, like, what makes this movie coming up is, like, Hugh Jackman has been playing, like, he's played this character longer than anybody's played any other character, like, over a consistent time frame, and not like with a large gap. Like, he's been doing this for close to 20 years almost, and we've seen him evolve. Like you saw what he looked like in the first X-Men movie. Where, like, he didn't really get a chance to, like, work out, and it's kind of like, you know, that guy's Wolverine. And then you see him, like, when you saw him in the Japanese one, where he looks like a damn comic book. Like, he has veins on veins. Like, he looked like he had, like, 3% body fat. Like, you've seen him grow up as Wolverine and play Wolverine longer than anyone's played anybody else. So to see him, like, you know what, this is my last one. Like, we've grown up on this character and this person playing this character, and it's kind of like, I think I'm going to be sad watching this movie, just knowing that. And I know it's kind of like he's hedging his bets where they want to have him be in a Deadpool movie. He's kind of like, the only way I can see myself doing this is, like, if I was able to be in an Avengers movie. And I know that can't happen, so, yeah.
I still say it's not his last time doing it, but maybe for a few years, you know, take off, and then I can see him revisiting it. I know he'll be older. I don't know how old. Is Hugh Jackman in his 50s yet? I really don't
know. He's probably in his 40s. I mean, it's tough being in that shape for that time frame. And it's not, he's not in like just good shape. He's like, he's in comic book shape. You know, like,
you know, he's 48 years old.
Yeah. Like, it's tough doing that. And like, especially taking a break and then doing it again. It's kind of like, and the, you know what's hilarious though? When you think about it, and I was reading about what Keanu Reeves, people asked him, and it's like, for him, acting isn't easy because he said, like, you know what? I don't have anything else to do. So I just act. I train to do the job, and I'm good at it. Like, I was reading an interview with Keanu Reeves. He's come off like this normal dude. Like, you know what? What else is there for me to do? I'm more like, I'm rich. I'm not, I don't really have anything else to do. So acting is not hard. I have fun. Like, he doesn't even own a house, I think, at this point. He just rents a hotel where they're shooting at. He just goes from job to job, does the job, and keep on being sad Keanu Reeves. Oh, I mean, if you read his life, like...
Oh, yeah, he's had some shit, so...
He's had some, and you can tell, like, he's been through it, and the fact that he's made it, it's like, he knows how he comes off. He doesn't worry about it, because it's like, yeah, I know people have the reaction, like, I can't act, and I wouldn't, and stuff like that, and it's like, man... It doesn't even bother him. It's like, it is what it is. I'm just keep living life. Like, Hugh Jackman was one of those comic people where he's had success doing other stuff. Like, he doesn't need to do Wolverine anymore if he doesn't want to. And he still have a career. It's like, he enjoys doing it. But it gets to a point where, what else is there for me to do? And, like, it's almost like the whole, like, even the James Bonds, they get tired. Like, Daniel Craig is like, they offer him $150 million, he's like, I'll think about it. And it's not like he has these big successes beside being James Bond, and even he's like, I'm all right. So imagine somebody with Hugh Jackman, who can do other things, probably is rich as can out be, and it's like, do I really want to keep eating chicken breast and broccoli for the rest of my life? Like, maybe I want to have a milkshake one day and do something else.
Which is what was the sad Keanu Reeves? Didn't he have an ice cream cone or something? Was that one of the sad Keanu pictures?
I'm sure it's a lot of them.
It's a dickish, but I've always wondered. Like, whenever we go to the grocery store, you see the magazines, and one, like, I think it was just last week, one was Jennifer Aniston. I guess she's turning 50. I don't know, something like that, and. It was one Jennifer Aniston pregnant at 50. The exact magazine next to it, Jennifer Aniston dumped by Justin
Theroux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's all angry on the cover. And then it's like, this woman, this is just one example, never mind Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, but it's, this woman has been on these covers, been in the spotlight for how long? And it's like, how do you even take that? I don't understand, because it's relentless coverage, relentless lies, false truths, all that stuff, that hasn't stopped for 20 years. I mean, that's got to be the worst.
They see it, because it's kind of like, how can you not? Just imagine every time you go out, it's somebody finding you with a camera.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And basically, you know how basically actors turn, like, either they laugh it off, they get used to it, or they go insane or become dicks. And it's like, yeah, like, I'm amazed at the people that's normal in Hollywood, because how could you be like, it's funny, like, Denzel Washington, he's been around since the 80s. How much do you know about Denzel Washington? You know, he's married, you know, he likes, what, the Yankees and the Lakers, and... That's it.
Well, he also had that expose, not expose, the interview, which is kind of like an expose, with Barbara Walters. And then didn't he say, like, he cheated on his wife? And everyone threw their arms like, oh, I can't believe Denzel would do that. I was like, I'm surprised he's not doing it more. Because he's Denzel Washington. I mean, I have no offense to his wife, but she's not making the money, and she's not in the spotlight. So,
like, Denzel Washington was kind of like that one of, like, he was that black actor that everybody thought was sexy, like, for the longest. It's kind of like, it's not, I know people put him on a pedestal, a paragon of virtue, but he's still a human being. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like he can get it. And it's funny when you think about that, because the people you do know, you get mad that you know him. Like, Will Smith was cool till he started hanging around Tom Cruise, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I wish I didn't know as much about Will Smith as I knew about Will Smith, because all of a sudden it's kind of like, yeah, him and Jada Pinkett seem to be going day up into some stuff. Like, you don't want to know about that stuff. It's kind of like, it's best to not know. Or we laugh at, like, people like Russell Crowe. It's not like the guy, he just go to a bar, drink, and fight.
And Russell Crowe seems unaffected by his fame.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds kind of dumb, but here's a guy I think he's still a huge actor, although I can't really remember the last thing I've seen him in.
He still does stuff. Like,
he's coming up in The Mummy. That's right.
Yeah, like, it's funny where he's been to Academy Award movies. Like, he had a run where he was the man. Yeah, like, he's been nominated a couple times, and it's like, I don't know if it's a stereotype, say an Australian thing, but maybe that's what it is, where they just, I'm just living life, mate. Like, you know, like, Chris Hemsworth is, to a small extent, like that, kind of like, I just show up and do my thing, and I think it's better to, like, you know, chill. Like, you don't want to get caught up in your legacy and living life, and you know, you got to be in shape at all times. People catch the wrong angle and it's on the National Enquirer and you want to punch somebody in the face. It's like,
remember how celebrity scandals used to be? Like, Russell Crowe comes to mind because he threw a phone at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, all right, well, big deal. That'd be nothing. And can you imagine what, like, 80s people, like, hell, 70s, 80s, even probably way early 90s before the internet and that. The kind of stuff that we would know. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I just imagine, like, actors and athletes and everything like that. Like,
oh, athletes especially?
Michael Jordan would not be looked the way he looked at if the internet was around back in the day. Like, it ain't nowhere in the world. Or you could just imagine, like, even, I know we play for fun, imagine how people looked at Babe Ruth. Like, think about it. Like, Mickey Mantle of all of them. Like, they've been ramped. Like, we talk about, like, PDs and steroids. Now, like, you think they was – that just happened now? Like, Mickey Mantle was using horse drugs back in the day and everything. Like, you could just imagine the stuff. Or, like, Joe DiMaggio and all that stuff with, like, Marilyn Monroe. Like, can you imagine – how that play off? If you had, like, a TMZ back then or Twitter back then, like, and memes and stuff, like, yeah. So timing always plays, like, when you look at, like, certain actors, it's like LeBron James is, like, the first big athlete of the internet age, because we've seen him grow up from high school to now based on the internet, and it's kind of like he get picked apart because we see everything. And it's like, you didn't see, like, Magic Johnson, the lifestyle he was living back in the day. Can you imagine how that would look now? Like, if we saw it, like, think about the stuff that we know and heard. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we saw everything.
Well, like, didn't the Lakers have, I think this was one of those 30 for 30s, but didn't the Lakers have a bar in the Forum? And then after the games, they would all just go down to the Forum and pick up girls in the bar? Like, after every single game? That was in.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, just think about...
Imagine, like, that now, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, like, it's
wonderful.
It would have, like, Magic Johnson. Like, it was a picture where it was like Magic Johnson, Jack Nicholson, Eddie Murphy, Prince, and, like, Michael Jackson, and, like, somebody else. Kind of like, can you imagine how they used to party back in the day, like in the 80s? Like, you, Magic Johnson, you rich, you on one of the most popular teams on the world, and you, like, yeah, I'm hanging with Eddie Murphy on Monday, Prince on Tuesday, Jack Nicholson on Wednesday, and that's me every week. Like, yeah.
And that's without realizing it, because the days just blend together the way you're going.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's funny where I'm surprised any actor, like, anybody famous is not insane, because you cannot be yourself, because people find you every single day. Like, you know, if you went to CBS and you brought some condoms and you married, that's going to be a news, like, oh, such is doing whatever. Like, you can't just go to CBS. You might be getting them for your damn son for all they know. It's kind of like, you can't live anymore. Like, somebody like,
or how about I'm getting them for myself so I don't get my wife pregnant? We don't want kids.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you put the wrong thing in a search engine, and all of a sudden, that's a thing. Oh, they into such and such. Like, that's none of your damn business. If I want to watch midget porn, let me watch it. It's kind of like, you can't do anything and be, and, like, live these days. And,
no. Well, it's, all right, and I understand who this person is, by the way, but this Jameis Winston stuff, look, Jameis supposedly was he could have gotten into Stanford, but he hasn't exactly shown himself to be the greatest character being. So him misspeaking, him saying something stupid in front of a bunch of kids, why are people upset about this?
No, you know why?
Did you expect him to say anything different? I mean, anything different, but just, the guy went in to talk to a bunch of kids and motivate the kids. So what do the parents do? He says something dumb, which apparently, and this is him saying it, he misspoke, all right, cool, whatever. But he says something stupid, and the parents are like, looking at each other, can you believe he said that? Yeah, you have a football player speaking to your kids. What's he supposed to do? Well, here, kids, let me talk to you about social settings and how we're supposed to be progressive nowadays.
Guess what?
No!
It's not even just a football player. You got a 22-year-old. Well, what, he's what, 22?
Yeah,
you got a
22-year-old.
See, I'm like, that's kind of like, young people are dumb. They've always been dumb. What's this whole idea? It's amazing where people judge everybody based on, like, I tell people all the time, mm-hmm. if you judge yourself based on how you judge everybody else, you probably blow your brains out. Where's the people expect, like, these 19, like, okay, you see these 19, 20-year-olds, so you expect them to talk like they're 60. I hear 60-year-olds sound like dumbasses all the time, and they've been around long enough to know better. What do I really expect from, like, a 22-year-old sound like a 22-year-old. Last time I checked, I remember when I was 22, I see 22-year-olds now, they sound dumb. They do dumb things. That's what young people do.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's not John. Everybody's not Rambo or Bruce Lee. Like, I've been woke and I've been on my path since I was 7 years old and I never stepped wrong. Like, you know who people who sound like that sound like damn weirdos. Like,
I'm also not listening to somebody say, "Well, this person's woke now." No.
Yeah, like, you ever heard people like they never step incorrectly? You know how they always come off with like,
yeah,
almost
it's
like,
called
like
Twitter. You're on no, there.
Like,
trust me.
Like Russell Wilson. Sounds like a damn zombie. Like, I'm just going to say what I need to say so I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm going to make the proper step every single time, and yada, yada, yada. They sound like people who sound like that come off as robots. Like, what is he trying to be, president? Like, yeah, people are people. Young people say make stupid mistakes. And what do you expect from Jameis Winston? Like, I don't even look at it as, like, a sign of people say, oh, he's not. I'm like, it's not intelligence. It's just... Yeah. He's young and quite frankly, he's done some checkered stuff. Like, yeah,
uh-huh.
I mean, you should have did a Google search on Jameis Winston before you have him talking about the kids when it comes to like what women should do. Like, are you really surprised that he said what he said considering the life like what he has lived? Like, come on now, let's be honest and real about that. But
well,
people want to do that whole he shouldn't. I know he's being himself. He shouldn't have done that.
Well, first, how do you know he's being himself? You motherfuckers don't know the guy. But at the same time, it's like, well, why are they like all these parents? All the school wanted was, hey, cool, we can get a pro quarterback that happens to be for the Tampa Bay Bucks here. And it's like, oh, Jameis Winston, great, he plays in the NFL. The kids will listen to him. And then it's almost like they didn't do the research. You're like, you know what? There's still a lot of funk on you. So we're going to pass for a few years and then maybe bring it in. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but you know what? It would have avoided a situation like this, which isn't much of a situation, really. So I don't know. I just I'm not a Jameis hater. I know a lot of people are, so it took great joy in messing something up like that. But it also goes to the tabloid stuff where all they want you to do is fail, and I don't get how people deal with that pressure. If every day, ugh.
You know what? It's the whole thing, and I get on cam all the time. But other people, that whole I said society right now is that big Jordan face thing where we don't celebrate. We used to celebrate success and now we mock failure. Like, that's what everyone does. And I'm kind of like, why are we so... I know it's probably not new. It's just easily noticeable now because you have social media. But I don't remember us being so damn petty in society. Like, it's this whole thing where, you know, somebody, like, you have a fight, and it's like a big-time fight. It's not, before it used to be, oh, such and such won. Now is such and such lost, and you ready to make fun of the person who lost. I'm like, what kind of, you gonna make, like the Olympics, like, you gonna make fun of somebody that won the silver medal? He's the second best person in his field on the damn planet, and we making fun of him because he's not first? Like, huh? What kind of, like, what are we, like, why are we doing this? And it just seems so negative. Like, it just, it, I don't know if it's me being old, and I don't want to come, oh, I am getting old. It's like, we should do, see, there's no way I can say this, but this is sounding all preachy, but the hell with it. We should do better. And it's, well, like, yeah, kind of like, I like celebrating success, because guess what? Success is hard. It takes effort to be successful in something that you care about and to do something like that. Takes work. And making fun of somebody, like, you know, you try your best and you like the second or third best person in the world, like the whole Golden State thing. People love making fun of, oh, Golden State blew a 3-1 lead in the finals, yada, yada. I'm like, they got to the finals. They won 73 games, and they lost to, what, LeBron James, who's the best player on the planet and may end up being, if not number one, the second best player of all time. We making fun of that? Like, that's, it ain't, like I said, it ain't no shame losing a Superman in a fair fight. Like, since, I didn't know that became a thing where all of a sudden now it's like, ha ha, they failed. Like, no, how about LeBron James rose up and succeeded? Like, it's almost like if wrestling, it's not like it's a wrestling thing where, I think now it'd be funny, like, we'd be making fun of Andre the Giant if he lost to Hulk Hogan, if it was a real fight. Instead of saying, oh, Hulk Hogan beat Andre the Giant. Like, oh, look at Andre the Giant. He choked.
Well, if you want to go to even, like, a more recent example, you don't hear, like, when Paul Heyman comes out now, they chant Goldberg at Lesnar, and the thing is how quickly he lost, not how quickly Goldberg beat him.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay.
That's a perfect analogy, and it's like, that's where we at now, where we rather mock failure than praise success. And then I've asked people, they're like, well, they won, that's all they need. I'm like, why are you the person that lost? Like, it's got to be a winner and a loser. Sometimes one person's better. That doesn't make the other person like a choke artist. Like, yep. If somebody gets knocked out in a fight, that just means the other guy was better than him. Like, people love when Ronda Rousey lost.
That was the one that really drove me crazy. Yeah.
Hey, oh, she got what's coming to her. Who won? Oh, I don't know. Like, really? You don't, like, you didn't even care about who beat her. Like, she could have fought a deer. Like, it didn't make a difference. Like, oh, I'm glad such and such lost. So we made fun, like, that whole thing. Like, there's a lot of people that's mad that they were never able to do that with Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Like, the person that could have beat Floyd Mayweather, they wouldn't even been a big deal. It wouldn't even been important to them. Just the fact that he lost. And that's where we get the point where I want to see somebody lose so I can make fun of them. And I'm like, why? Like, what enjoyment? And if it's somebody, like, if it's a jerk or asshole, that's one thing. And if it's somebody that's, you know, I can see that part because kind of like you want to see come up with. But if it's just a regular person, then, like, it's why? What enjoyment you get out of, like, what they do to you?
I can see if it's your rival team, I can get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who, like, in all honesty, like, who's the Eagles' biggest rival?
Is, yeah, it Redskins, like, if it's the Cowboys, okay, basically.
That I can totally see and totally get behind. But I'm not, like, the Ronda Rousey thing, I think we touched on it around when that happened. That drove me insane because, especially with the internet, if you don't delete your stuff and you make a big deal out of it, people are going to go back and see what a fraud you are. And there were plenty of people on my timeline to where I distinctly remember when Ronda Rousey would beat Kat Zagano, Misha Tate, quickly. They were like, baddest woman on the planet, best athlete in the world, blah, 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 blah. And then she finally loses. Well, she was too arrogant. This is the same woman that did the same thing when you were cheering her. And, like, the Golden State thing, that was crushing. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That was, I think, to me, that's part of it. But, yeah, it kind of overshadowed Cleveland, you know, finally winning a championship.
Just think about that whole thing. Like, both on one, Ronda Rousey got to the point where people were talking about, Oh, people were talking about her fighting Floyd Mayweather. How, as ludicrous as that sound, I remember when that was a thing. Like, oh, who would win if it was an octagon fight? So you go, so why wouldn't she be, like, everyone around her saying how bad she is and she in movie and stuff like that? Oh, so you tell somebody that's special long enough, they actually believe it, and then you get surprised? Like, welcome to Earth. And then the whole thing with, like, do people not realize how hard it was for Cleveland to do what it did? Like, you know, considering, like, one, Cleveland hadn't won a championship in forever. LeBron James had all that pressure about, you know, going back home and doing it. They had just been there the year before. He was basically like Batman fighting the Justice League by himself and almost beat them by himself, like, to the fact where people thought he should have been Finals MVP even though they lost. And then he's back there. Golden State's this juggernaut team that's just mowing down everybody, and he just, some with help, it wasn't just him by himself. They, Cleveland, played their ass off to beat them. And even then, it's kind of like the game came down to the wire. Like, Game 7 was a great game. That was a close-ass game. Could have went any way in the world. And what's the first thing that happened when Cleveland won? Oh, look, a Golden State choke. Like, well, I mean, it's kind of like, if it's almost kind of like, you know, if the Americans and Russians was racing to the moon at the same time, and the Americans landed there like a minute before the Russians did, and we were like, oh, look at them Russians. They are choke artists. Like, not, wow, the Americans made it to the damn moon. It's kind of like, look at the other guy. He didn't get there. What a bum. Like, do you judge yourself that way in life? And most people, I doubt they do, but maybe they do. And maybe that's what part of it is, this whole misery loves company thing. Like, and but then I don't want to say that because I don't want to, like, that's just, I don't know. It just, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth when I just think about the whole thing. And maybe because I have a different mindset where, in my field and stuff and everything, where I had to put a lot of work in to get there, and I know how tough it is for other people, and they feel like it takes a lot of work to reach the top of your profession. And a lot of professions, it's kind of like, I'm all for appreciating the hard work and, like, yeah, congratulations, you made it, not knocking somebody down because they didn't, because it ain't easy. And especially something like that, imagine you're like the third best person on the planet doing what you're doing, and somebody sitting on the couch is calling you a bum.
Yeah, it's like, it's the third smartest man, like, you know, comics, to mm-hmm. bring it back to that sort of thing. It's the unofficial rankings, like Batman's the smartest person in the DC Universe. Mr. Terrific, the comics version, is the third smartest, I think. I can't remember who the second one is. I think it's Lex Luthor. But then, like, the DC, or the Marvel Universe, you got Reed Richards, Doctor Doom, all that. And it's like, well, you know what? If I'm in the top 10 worldwide of the smartest people on the planet, I'm pretty good with being number 10. Regardless of how close it is to number 11. And even then, I'd be pretty good with number 11. You know, yeah. It's, but then, yeah, you'd have some doofus on Twitter starting a hashtag, 10th smartest person in the world. Like, one, that's a long hashtag. Two, you may want to rethink what you're saying here. So,
yeah, like, it's 6 billion people, and he's number 10.
I'm number 10. Yeah.
Like, that's a long-ass list. It's not like it's not like it's 11 people. It's not like it's 11 people around here, the 10th smart person in the room.
It's not even, it's like, it's not even a list of 60 people, you know?
Yeah, so, like, I just imagine, like, it's funny we went on this thing, but I just imagine, like, if you like Maria Sharapova, where in any other atmosphere, you'd be number one. Like, you like one of the best tennis players of all time. Oh, and you basically a joke because Serena Williams exists.
That monster.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you can't, it's almost like,
complimentary monster, by the way.
Like, yeah, imagine, like, it's almost like you being Lex Luthor in a fist fight with Superman. Like, it's funny where everyone mocks her, like, saying, oh, she's this bum. Like, it's not that she's a bum. It's like, she just happened to be born at the wrong time where you could be top five, but number one is just so much better. It's like almost, it's like all those golfers that grew up around the same time as Tiger Woods. Yeah. Sorry about your damn luck. You just happen to be around Tiger Woods. That doesn't say you're a bum. Like, Sergio Garcia is not trash because he just happened to be around the same time that Tiger Woods was around. Like, everybody can't be Tiger Woods. That would make Tiger Woods Tiger Woods. It's a shame, like Dan Marino's and, like, I just look at, like, how many NBA players don't have a championship because Michael Jordan existed. Like, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, and Patrick Ewing all kind of looked at a certain way because they didn't win a ring. It's like, well, first they were around when Magic Johnson, Larry Bird was around with Super Teams, and then they were around when Magic, when Michael Jordan was around. Like, Hakeem Olajuwon has his rings because Jordan was out for 2 years. Everybody else had that luxury. Like, sometimes that's how life works. That doesn't make you a bum because you weren't number one.
Yeah, was Clyde Drexler on those Houston teams that won?
He was on his second one.
Okay, all right. Because I remember Charles joined him soon after that, trying to get his. And then Jordan came back. It was like,
yeah, like, it's just a thing where that's how we judge. It's like an all or nothing thing. Like, if you, that Ricky Bobby syndrome where if you're not first, you're last. And it goes in the whole thing with, like, movies where people say, like, this whole, to go back to where we start beginning before we wrap it up, if you got a comic movie, you don't make $1 billion, you're a failure. If we go by that route, then most Marvel movies are considered failures. Like, most movies don't make $1 billion worldwide. They just don't. That's why it's a big deal when they do. Like, that's, then this whole thing of, like, that being the tent pole, or that being a judgment of, if a movie's bad, then it's bad. And if a movie's good, it's good. And, like, bad movies make a lot of money too, because for all the talk about Batman and Superman and Suicide Squad, they made a lot of money. Like, you know, Doctor Strange and Ant-Man were better movies than those movies, but those DC movies made more than a lot of those Marvel movies. Yeah. It's like, you shouldn't judge quality based on necessarily money, but at the same time, you shouldn't judge money based on quality. Like, they, sometimes they go hand in hand, but sometimes they don't. Like, it's just the way it is.
And let's end on that. We didn't get the Flash, which is, oh well. I was just going to comment on the creative decisions how not to show gorillas by having Grodd talk through people, but whatever.
Hey,
I understand
FX
why.
Cost, yeah, so. FX costs money.
But it does make me want it does make me want to see a Flash movie with a big budget with Gorilla City. If there's one thing I like, are monster movies or monkey movies. So that would be really badass. So I guess we'll see what happens with the rest of this season, at least, because it looks like they're not going away, so that's cool. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. Next week, I'm figuring we're both going to see Logan on Thursday. So
more than likely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see Get Out today.
Oh, we didn't get to that. All right. But, So thanks for listening. Stunt Granny on all social media. Check out the new Stunt Granny logo. If you like it enough, let us know, because we could use some money so we can make T-shirts out of it and sell it. That'd be nice. So I'm out of here. Thanks for listening, and have a good weekend.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid.
What's your name?
I'm me. I'm me. I'm the guy that's not Jeremy Mays. And happy birthday to everybody that had birthdays in February. We are out.